Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 47. I looked at 4:7 and I read 4:9. Psalm 47, we're going to read tonight. It's our text, and we're going to see what it has for us, consider some things. It's my desire, my prayer, that the Lord would encourage us tonight. Psalm 47, let's read all 9 verses. Verse 1 says, O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. God is gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. It is good for us to praise the Lord. And we know this, but sometimes it's easy for us, and over time it can happen to us that we begin to lose sight of what praise is. Cultural norms change how we praise God. Our personality tendencies can affect our praise to God. And to help us praise God biblically, it's good for us to examine biblical examples and see what the Bible shows us about praise from time to time. And so tonight I'd like us to see what I've called traits of praise from Psalm 47. And it's my desire that God help us to praise him more biblically as a result of what we see here. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Father, we thank you for the direction and the guidance, the instruction that you give us on praising you. One might think that if we know you and we walk with you and we serve you, just having that kind of proximity to you would give us so much material to praise, so much example and so much inspiration for our praise. And yet, so often we can fail to praise you. And not only do you deserve that praise, Lord, we need to praise you. It is good for us to praise you. It is important and even essential that we praise you for our own good. Lord, help us to praise you biblically, not just what comes natural to us, but in all of the ways that Scripture shows us that praise ought to be, help us to praise you that way. I pray that you would teach us from the things that we'll see in this psalm. I pray that you would be glorified in our praise. Help us to praise you willingly and enthusiastically. In Jesus' name I pray. We'll notice a few things that praise is as it's described in this psalm. And after we're done, we're going to have a testimony time. And I'd like to give you folks, give us a chance to praise the Lord with testimony. First of all, in verse 1, it reads, O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And the thing that I see here is that praise should be bold. Praise to God should be bold. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And this is talking about noise here. Clapping your hands, it creates noise. Shouting, you raise your voice, you're creating noise. And of course, praise doesn't have to be loud in order to be bold. But if our praise is never loud, and we never raise our voice in any way to praise God, our praise is probably missing something, because praise should be bold. If we can go to a ball game, and maybe you aren't like this, I know I used to be like this, but if we can go to a ball game, and many people are this way, and we can scream and cheer for the team until we're hoarse and we lose our voice, we can raise our voice and praise God. A lot of times we feel comfortable doing that sort of thing in a crowd of fans because everybody's doing it, and self-conscious about raising our voice to praise God. But the word, this word clap, of course, it's talking about striking your hands together. You do it to applaud, to manifest approval or praise of something. To shout is to utter a sudden and loud outcry, usually in joy, triumph, or exultation. And that is certainly the context here. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And I think about our current age and our current culture, and in this age of countless and assertive, even aggressive voices on social media that lift up ungodly things. That maybe they're not shouting audibly on social media, but virtually they are. They're lifting up ungodly things. They're raising those things up. They're praising those things. We should be willing to be bold in praising Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, because He alone is worthy of our praise. Ungodly things are not worthy of our praise. And we can compliment each other. I'm not talking about failing to appreciate and compliment one another. And certainly if somebody is serving the Lord, and we can compliment them, tell them that they are being a blessing. But when we're talking about praising something, God is worthy of our praise. And we ought to be willing to lift Him up in praise and be bold in our praise. I think we're all aware that we won't scare God by turning up the volume a little bit on our praise. Real, genuine, loud praise pleases His heart. And it might just make the point to others that God is worth praising. If we're bold in our praise, we can praise God in our heart, and I do. I hope you do as well. I can praise God by driving down the street and not saying a word. And in my heart, I'm speaking to God and I'm praising. But that's not necessarily boldness. It's true, it's sincere, it's honest, but our praise ought to be bold. Talking to coworkers, let me praise the Lord to you. Talking in front of the church and speaking to friends, speaking up about what God is doing in your life, praising Him to others, being bold in our praise. Praise should be bold, and that's what we see here in this psalm. It's calling for noise. It's calling for a joyful noise unto the Lord. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Praise should be bold. We should be bold in praising God because He is worthy to be praised, and we ought to lift Him up in the eyes of other people. If we are timid about praising God, that's going to say something about our God to people who hear our praise and who see our praise. If we can't be willing to maybe look a little foolish in the eyes of the heathen by praising God, to raise our voice, to stand out a little bit from the crowd, we're not willing to do that because we don't want to look strange, that says something to them about God. We ought to be willing to be brave, bold in our praise to God. Another thing that I see here in Psalm 47:1 is that praise should celebrate about God and over God. It says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We should celebrate something specific here. Several things that we're going to see. Celebrating over God. Celebrating, first of all, what God has done. We might go to a museum, and I picture people going through a famous museum. Maybe you've been to the Louvre. I haven't been to the Louvre. That was the first museum that came to my mind. And if you've ever been there, there's a lot of fine art paintings and art sculptures, perhaps, all these kinds of exhibits of art. And people go through a museum and they look at the examples and the masterpieces there, and they nod approvingly, and they're praising it with their body language, with their words. It's a solemn place, maybe. They exclaim over what they see. Or maybe I'm imagining a golf tournament, and people quietly clap when the golfer sinks a putt. You know, I remember when I was a teenager at teen camp, one of the preachers was talking about, we need to learn how to do a golf clap. And it was a quiet clap because, you don't want to get too rowdy at a golf tournament. But we can have, I imagine, these different forms of praise in our world. And we compliment a painting, or we clap when a golfer sinks a putt. But our praise over God should be different than that. We should praise God because He has done truly great things. We can appreciate a painting. We can appreciate an athletic feat or an accomplishment. But God truly has done great things. Truly great things. Turn to Psalm 107. I wish we would take the time to read the whole Psalm, Psalm 107 tonight, but we won't. We'll just take time to read the first few verses. But God has already done great things, and we ought to praise Him for the things He has already done. And I'll admit, it's easy to overlook those things. It's easy to forget what the Bible has to say about the things God has done. It's easy to forget what God has done in my life. It's easy to forget what God's done in your life. But God has done truly great things in our lives and in the lives of those who have come before, and we ought to praise Him for those. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed, that's the past, from the hand of the enemy. This is what He has done. And gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. This is their state. This is where they were. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And we see that verse repeated over and over. The next section is talked about all that God has done for this group of, for these people and for His people. And then verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And then it goes on to tell more about what God has done and all of these things that He's done in the past. In verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. And again, mentions a lot more things that God has done. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord over and over and over. We ought to praise the Lord and celebrate what God has done. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. He's won the battle. He has defeated the enemy. He has defeated death and sin. Ezra 3:11 says that they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. These people, Ezra had come back, Nehemiah, or Zerubbabel led the first group of Israel, of Israelites out of Babylon. They were back now in Israel, in Jerusalem, and they were laying the foundation of the house of the Lord, and they were praising God for all that He had done. They had been in slavery, in exile in Babylon because of their sin. God had judged them, and now He had brought them out. He had blessed them. He had done so many great things, and they shouted with a great shout. There was boldness there, praising and giving thanks unto God because of what He had done. Just look in the past, look in your history, look in the scriptures. We ought to praise God for what He has done. And the past cannot be changed. We just forget about it. Let's not forget what God has done. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, God has done great things for you. We ought to praise God for what He has done. He has defeated death. Death is swallowed up in victory. He has won the battle. We can sing unto the Lord and praise Him with the voice of triumph. God has triumphed. Praise isn't simply complimenting God's excellence. It's rejoicing in His victories. And this should help us be a little bit loud at times because of the victories God has won. We celebrate what God has done. Praise is also celebrating who God is. Look at Psalm 47, verse 2. Let's go back there. Psalm 47. Psalm 47, I'll read verse 1 again while you're turning. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Why are we shouting unto God with the voice of triumph, clapping our hands because of who God is? He is the Lord Most High. There is nothing higher than him. There is nothing as high as him. He is the Lord Most High. And this word Lord is probably all capitalized in your Bible, all four letters. L-O-R-D, capitalized. And that's speaking of Jehovah. Jehovah Most High. We praise other people when they fix a delicious meal. We praise other people when they perform their job well at work. We praise our children when they do what they're told. Or when somebody sings a song skillfully, we praise them for that. And we praise God for being Jehovah Most High. We ought to be able to. And it's not wrong to compliment each other and encourage each other when we do something praiseworthy, but we ought to truly praise God in the greatest way possible. He is Jehovah Most High. And this word terrible speaks of his power and the reverence, the fear of God that we should have. He is the judge. He is omnipotent, and he will judge sin. He deserves our reverence and our respect. We ought to fear him because of his authority and his power and his holiness. But this is who he is. We are celebrating who God is. We celebrate what God has done. We celebrate who God is. He is the Lord Most High. He is a great king over all the earth. Not just part of the earth or some of the earth for some of the time. He is a great king over all the earth. Isaiah 43:11, God is speaking. He says, I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. That's praiseworthy. And we should praise him for who he is. Who is the Lord to you? I don't mean we determine what his character is. I mean, how has he revealed himself to you? The Bible talks about he is a husband to the widow. He is a father to the fatherless. What is God? What needs has God met in your life? What has he done? And he reveals to us different parts of his character. How has he revealed himself to you? What do you have to praise about God? Sometimes someone might say, well, I don't really know. He's just kind of a name. And maybe that indicates that you don't know him. And if you realize that and you draw near to him, you ought to praise God for showing you that and drawing you near so that you can be saved. But who God is, we ought to celebrate that. It ought not to become commonplace. We ought not to take it for granted. We ought to appreciate and celebrate who God is, and we ought to seek him so that next time when we need to praise him again, we've been growing and he's been revealing himself to us, and we have something new, something always fresh that we've been learning about God that we can praise him about. We ought to celebrate and praise God for what he has done. We ought to praise God for who he is. Thirdly, we ought to celebrate and praise what God will do. It's interesting in this Psalm 47, verses 1 and 2. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for he is. Well, usually we praise God because, you know, or we want to praise him because he's doing what we want him to do. Hey, thank you, Lord. You got done what I wanted to get done. Thank you for doing that for me. But these two verses are praising God before anything happens. What he has done and who he is. And verse 3 says, he shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Celebrating what God will do. And it might seem strange to praise God for something that hasn't happened yet. But that's called faith. Praise the Lord for what he will do. But I don't see it. How can it happen? I don't see how it's possible. Well, maybe I don't either. But we can praise God for what he will do, not praise him for what we want him to do, because he may not do that thing. We may want the wrong thing. But we can praise him for what he has promised he will do. We can praise him that because he has made a lot of promises and that can apply to our lives, and we can praise him for what he will do. We trust in what God will do because he has promised it, and we can be confident that he's going to keep his promises because of who he is. We praise God for who he is. And because of who he is, we can celebrate and praise God for what he will do. Turn to John 14. We sometimes get into a situation where things look pretty bleak. Things look pretty sobering, pretty hopeless. How do we praise God in those times? Well, we praise God for who He is. He doesn't change. Our circumstances change, but He does not change. And we can be confident that He will accomplish what He says He will do. We can praise Him for that. John 14. Now, this passage in John 14, and John 14, 15, 16, 17, this is the evening that Jesus was arrested and tried and eventually put on the cross. This was the last evening together with his apostles before he was arrested. This was a sobering time, and he knew what was coming. This is the night that Judas was possessed by Satan, and he betrayed Christ. And there were going to be a lot of distressing and crushing things for the apostles that would happen. They were about to be scattered when Jesus was arrested. But Jesus says to them, John 14, verse 1, I find it interesting, we might miss this sometimes because of chapter divisions, but notice in chapter 13, verse 36, Simon Peter said, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me, but you'll know afterward, you'll follow me afterward. Peter said, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And what a deflating message that would be to hear. And would have sobered the group. What's he talking about? What's going to happen? This is pretty bad sounding. How could this happen? And then Jesus says in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? We're confused here, Lord, and you explain some of these things. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me, he hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I'm going to go. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can't follow me. And Peter's saying, I'll lay down my life. No, you're not. You're going to deny me. And then he goes on, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Remember the works that I've done. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I imagine, and I'm sure I would have been this way too, if I had followed the Lord around for 3.5 years like the apostles did, I would have been pretty dependent on Him. I've watched Him do miracles. I've heard His teaching. I'm just doing what He says. He's the Christ. He's the leader. He's our pastor. We're just going to follow Him. He's God. He can't do anything wrong. I'm just going to follow Him. But now He's going to be taken. What's going on? We can't follow Him? This is distressing. And then the Lord says, whatsoever ye shall have, you've seen the works, you're going to do greater than these. Promises given to these men to comfort them. The apostles were hearing some sobering words from the Lord. It could have made them afraid. But Jesus replied to their fears by promising that God would answer their prayers and do great things through them for His glory. And so they could take this promise and praise God by faith. Praise God for what He would do. And we have promises like this as well. Of course, Jesus says over and over, if you pray for things in my name to bring glory to me, you pray for my purposes to be done, you will see your prayers answered. This will happen. We can be very confident. So Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can praise God that he will perform it, because he promised he would. He will do these things. We may not see it, we may not feel it, we may not understand it, but we can praise God for what he will do. Celebrate that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Praising God for what he will do. Hasn't happened yet, but we ought to praise him for what he will do. And if we go through scripture looking for promises that apply to me, that apply to you, you'll find them, and then you can praise God for them. Back to Psalm 47 for a moment. The psalm celebrates the things that God has done and celebrates who God is, celebrates what God will do. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. But also, this psalm is celebrating what God is doing. Notice verse 5, it says, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. God is always working. God is always accomplishing. God isn't just, he doesn't time out his work. He doesn't pause his work. And yeah, we can thank God for what he has done. I don't think he's doing anything right now. One day he'll start working again. That's not our God. We can praise God for what he is doing. And we may not be able to see what he's doing. It might be hard to see what God is doing at some times than at other times. But if we're thinking right, we will always be able to find something that God is doing, because he is always working. What's he doing in your life? Can you praise him for that? Well, it's really uncomfortable. It's still good. Can we praise him for that? We ought to. Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And if you're saved, you are the work of God's own hands. God creates all people. We are created by God. And so in that way, we are the works of his hands. But God saved you, and he's working in you to turn you into, to change you into the image of Christ. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forget you. He's always working to do this. And we can praise God for that. We can praise God for what he is doing in the lives of others. Psalm 47, verse 6, tells us something else about praise. We've seen that praise should be bold. Praise should celebrate over God. Verse 6 says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. That's part of who he is. Sing ye praises with understanding. Another thing that I see here is that praise should be emotional. And why do I say that? Because it says, sing praises. Music connects with us emotionally. That's part of how it's constructed. I believe it's a gift from God. And when we praise God in song, we're connecting emotionally in a good way. Emotions can manipulate, or I should say music, can manipulate our emotions. And wicked music manipulates us wickedly. But when we're praising God, it should connect with our emotions positively. It's no surprise that God wants us to use music as a means to praise him. Of course, we know that our life and our praise should not be guided and controlled by our emotions, but it should affect our emotions. It should involve our emotions. God created us with emotions. They're not sinful. If we let our emotions guide our actions, we're probably going to be doing wrong things. But if we cannot be stirred emotionally when we praise the Lord, we're probably not truly praising him from our heart. Hey, praise the Lord, you know, he's great, he does great things. Amen. If that's our praise, something's missing. It ought to stir us emotionally. This is what's going to make us shout and sing and praise the Lord. Clap our hands. It should be emotional. It should involve our emotions. Over and over, we find in Scripture singing praise to God. Psalm 7:17 says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. That's another thing that he is. He is righteous. And will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 57:7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. There is something very powerful about singing praise to God. And we can sing in a service, and we can sing, and it doesn't stir our emotions. It doesn't. Our mind isn't involved. That's where it starts, by the way. Praising God starts in our mind. But when our mind is engaged, and we are truly praising the Lord from our mind, our emotions will get involved in a good way. And when we sing on purpose, singing from our heart, our emotions will become involved, and they should be. Praise should be emotional. When it's right praise, they will be right emotions, and they should be involved when we praise the Lord. Psalm 68:32, sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah. It's music. Music stirs us. I play taps occasionally with the honor guard in town. And it's an opportunity that I have to, I want the Lord to use it as witnessing opportunities with the honor guard and maybe some folks that we come in contact with. But when I play taps, I'm sure you've heard it before, no words, it's just a simple trumpet tune, really, on the bugle or the trumpet, and it makes people cry. It's an emotional thing. Music is emotional. That's the nature of it. And our emotions should be involved when we praise the Lord. When we praise Him from our heart, when we praise Him with our spirit, it should stir our emotions. Our praise should be emotional. And lastly, I see in this psalm, in the last two verses, praise must concentrate on reality. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 47. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. He reigneth over the heathen. Yeah, but Lord, why are they able to do this? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain? Why are they allowed to do? Why does so-and-so not get punished by it? Well, he does reign over. We don't understand all of God's purposes. We don't understand God's long-suffering and why God doesn't step in sometimes. But we do know God reigneth over the heathen. He sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. This is reality. When we are discouraged and defeated, we are not looking to God. We are looking at our problems. We are seeing our problems as being victorious. And we are not acknowledging the truth. The truth that God is on his throne, he is exalted, and he is busy accomplishing his purposes, just like he always has been. Praise God for what he has done. Praise God for who he is. Praise God for what he is doing. Praise him in acknowledging the truth that he is God. He is on his throne. He is exalted. And he is accomplishing his purposes. I like this quote by Corrie ten Boom. As you may know, she was a Jew that survived one of the concentration camps. She shouldn't have, but God brought her out in the Holocaust. But she said this, she went on to have a joyful life of serving God, praising God joyfully. After all that she'd been through, she said, there is no panic in heaven. God has no problems, only plans. And we can praise God for that. He's God. We must focus and concentrate on reality. May God help us to praise Him instead of panicking over our fears. Let's give God our problems so He can accomplish His plans. Let's give God our praise and glorify Him boldly so that other people will see that He is the Lord of Lords, He is the King of Kings, and he is still on his throne. Let us concentrate on the truth by praising God. Let's pray. Father,